No, sequels. It's a good word, I thought, for Transfiguration Sunday when I was doing it, and it was for somebody else was talking to me. Oh, it was over a week ago, about the sequel to Star Wars. Have any of you seen Star Wars, the sequel? I'm waiting for Gone with the Wind, the sequel. I'm an idea. And I told my wife, I said, we'll have a sequel to Singing in the Rain, to be Singing in the Hailstorm or something. I don't know. Sequels are with us all over the place, aren't they? And things that happen again and again, and we'll say, oh, I remember when that happened, and oh, something like that occurred, like, oh, I tasted something like that, I remember back in 1946. Then I thought, you know what? If you don't remember the sermon on January 24th, this is just frustrating as blazes. That's all right. I'll remind you where we were. Where we were, because that's really what came to my mind about a sequel. The continuation of that scripture when Jesus was in the synagogue, when he was there and they were teaching, and he read from Isaiah. And everyone thought, boy, what a good reader. He was taught well, even for a carpenter's son. And then he said, your scripture is fulfilled today. And everybody probably sat there and thought, uh-uh. What's he talking about? What kind of a joker is this? The scriptures fulfilled in him, the son of a carpenter? Oh, that's when the sequel begins. Because if you open your Bibles now, you'll see that we're going to pick up on anger and temperament. And boy, people just bugged like crazy because of what Jesus said, and of all places in his home territory. And they didn't like what they heard, they really didn't like it at all. Okay, here's the lesson, the fourth chapter, 21 to 30. And he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled for your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Jesus said to them, surely you'll quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed. Only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. Oh! They got up, they drove him out of town, they took him to the brow of a hill in which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Now, I told the kids, and I told you now, the punchline, the hook from that last sermon really was what I began with. Today, this scripture's been fulfilled. Now, this is where I'm beginning today, because that's the sequel to last week, 2 weeks ago. Not that we're going to go back and look at this, but I want you to see what, and I think Joan and the choir would understand what I'm saying. There's a change in tempo. There's a real change in the tempo of this narrative that comes to us from Scripture. A real change. Instead, the sequel's about an angry, rejecting, bloodthirsty mob. It didn't take long for the crowd, really there in the synagogue that Sabbath day, to digest and react to what Jesus was saying after reading from Isaiah. They were mad. They got angry. The carpenter's son, excuse me, claiming to be the Messiah? Whoa! They remembered him in different ways. Probably the little kid that was doing ornery things in the neighborhood. You know, kids are kids, right? That's right. Jesus was just one of the boys. And for him, as a man, to say this, well, Jesus was aware of the change in temper in that crowd of the synagogue that day. And then he added the real sticker that probably got to them, you know, even a prophet isn't respected, isn't honored, isn't loved in his own country, in his own home. He's not honored on his home turf. The crowd couldn't be calm. They ran him out of the synagogue. And notice the scripture, they drove him out of town and took him to a cliff, and they were going to shove him over the cliff. That's how mad they were. Now, I have to admit, I had people angry over something I've said in the pulpit over in the past. I've had people really get up in anger and walk out of the church. Yeah. That's why the sermon's always after the offering. But I've never been driven out of town or to the force of a cliff being thought about being pushed over. Never been that bad. The truth is, you see, we sometimes get angry when God's word kind of rubs us in the wrong way. Sometimes God's word has a way of just irritating the way we are, the way we think, and the way we live, which is as it should be when the Word calls us to love all people, regardless of who they are. Ooh, we don't like that. And we don't like to hear when a preacher says this too often, do we? Some people we just don't love, and some people we just have to hate, we think. When the Word tells us something that rubs us the wrong way, we get mad. When the Word says we're saved by God's grace, not by anything we can do, not anything at all, we thought, well, you know, I've been a good person all my life. The trouble with us, like the trouble with them, we're selective in what we believe. We're selective in what we hear. We're selective in how we want to go about this business of faith living. We are. You see, we're not much different from that crowd that listened to Jesus in Nazareth. We reject Jesus if we determine that there's something about him or his call that's not to our liking. I heard one of our candidates, when the Pope visited the country and was talking about, we've got to exhibit the love of Christ in all that we do. And the one candidate said, the Pope doesn't know what he's talking about all the time. I thought, that's clever. That's the crowd you see in this synagogue setting that I'm reading to you. We are selective, aren't we? We are selective what we believe and how we believe and how we go about the business of life. It's always been that way, I suppose. But the good news is, the good news that comes to us, that even if we're indifferent to the gospel, Jesus still stands at the middle, bringing us the good news of love and salvation, regardless of what we do or how we think. Blomp! It's there to free us from everything that binds us to sin. That's the hook. The Epiphany season, Transfiguration Sunday, is a good time before Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, when we remember the tragedy of the cross and the ugliness of people. But it's a good time for us to think about the Jesus who really is. And what Jesus is really all about when we talk about our faith. Today we see Jesus as the rejected son of Nazareth. The human rage and the cliff pushing. All it did was foreshadow what really was to come. As that season continues, if we follow the lesson, which we will, to Calvary. Jesus is the Spirit that God had promised throughout the Old Testament. Jesus is the Spirit of God, the Anointed One, which is what the early church said, the Anointed One who's come to save us. We who are like the folks in the synagogue, rebellious and angry and opinionated, and weak-willed at times, and sometimes broken in spirit, and sometimes lost. Perhaps this is the worthy sequel that I was talking about when I talk to the kids and when I'm sharing with you in the beginning. Perhaps this is the worthy sequel, as unpleasant as it is. In spite of our sin, in spite of our weakness, in spite of our humanity, in spite of our humanity and our attempts to often push Jesus aside, out of the way, He comes and stands with us and saves us anyway from ourselves. With love and forgiveness and hope. Such love is truly the undeserved grace that God has given to us. And for that we can only say, thank God. Thank you, God. Oh God, sometimes it's hard for us to believe that Christ was ever condemned. And yet we know He was. Don't let us be in the business of condemning. Only accepting Your love and Your forgiveness and Your renewal. Give us Your Spirit. Give us Your peace. Amen.